The title today is They Are Trying to Cancel Padre Pio. And then he got to meet the Pope. How did Padre Pio get past this being cancelled? Hello, friends of Following Padre Pio. On this channel, we take a glimpse into the supernatural life of Padre Pio. He was a Capuchin monk, a mystic, and a miracle worker. And we offer you a series of short stories. So do stay tuned to this channel, and we hope that you will be amazed to find out what Padre Pio's intercession can do for you or for someone you love. And if you'd like to help us on this channel, then the best way is to like our videos, share the video with your friends and colleagues. And if you're new, then also to subscribe to the channel, click that reminder bell thereafter. And we continue with our story. Now, we may have heard of some priests who are considered too orthodox recently. For example, they do things like they quote the Catholic Catechism on human life, that it is always sacred. And so there are other people who think these priests need to be cancelled. And how does this relate to Padre Pio? Well, he went through a strikingly similar, a parallel situation in his life. And how did Padre Pio get past this? You're going to want to listen to this one because it's about a miracle of Padre Pio's. Looking at the history of the situation. In about the early 1920s, or the mid-1920s rather, Padre Pio's enemies were now numerous, and they were making a concerted effort to have him cancelled by all means. No tricks were being spared. Even his bishop, his local bishop, was included, determined to cancel Padre Pio. Yes, you heard that right. His bishop was even involved to cancel him. So, what chance, may we ask, did poor Padre Pio have in this situation? A young priest, inexperienced perhaps, in these situations, being attacked from all around. And then it got worse because the Holy Office became involved. And they even started placing restrictions on Padre Pio. Does that sound familiar? They forbid him even from seeing his spiritual director. And they declared that there was nothing supernatural about our great saint's life. In other words, all the miracles that Padre Pio did were bogus. His healings, likewise, were bogus. And the bilocations, they were all bogus. There was nothing supernatural. That's what they declared. Yet, even that, can you believe this, was not enough. His enemies seemed to want blood, and they to have him completely suspended. Ad divinis, all of his priestly faculties suspended. Now, let us look at it from Padre Pio's situation, from his perspective. Giving up your entire life, your entire vocation, and then from within the church, from your brother priests, they want to literally lop your head off. How would you feel in that situation? What a crime. Yes, and that is actually what happened to Padre Pio. And yet, strangely enough, who do people now remember? Historically speaking, who do people now remember? Padre Pio or his enemies? Well, this is how it happened. Fortunately, the townspeople of St. Giovanni Rotondo, that is the town where Padre Pio's monastery was, they got news of what was happening and they banded together and they defended Padre Pio. They could see these injustices and it turned into a bitter dispute. We've seen this in a previous video, how someone even pointed a gun at Padre Pio in order to prevent him from escaping, running away from them. An inconvenient and political mess developed, and eventually it reached all the way to the top, to the Pope himself. What was the Pope going to do? We pick up from there. The Pope at this time was Pius XII, and he called a secret meeting precisely because he wanted to deal with this situation, this inconvenient topic of Padre Pio. But first, it was necessary to find Padre Pio guilty. So there's another parallel. And for this, a kind of court or a secret meeting was set up. And those against Padre Pio, there were five inquisitor cardinals. You can imagine to be an inquisitor cardinal is not an easy thing. You've got to have a sharp mind, a legal mind. Five of them were put against Padre Pio, and they made every effort they could. They put all their skill into cancelling Padre Pio. And then in Padre Pio's defense, there were only two cardinals that were favorable to Padre Pio. And the one was Cardinal Gaspari, and the other was a Cardinal Cilli. They had higher positions, but they weren't kind of legal minds set there to iron out problems. And the Pope himself acted as both the judge and the arbiter in the situation. And a fierce, heated debate ensued. But slowly the tables were turned against Padre Pio. And it seems to have reached the point of becoming decisive against Padre Pio, against our great saint. And now at this stage, the Pope appeared ready to rule against Padre Pio. It appeared that all had been lost. Does this sound familiar? And if that happened, if the Pope ruled against him, then Padre Pio would certainly have been cancelled. Our saint would have been a broken man. He would have had his whole vocation trashed and put into the dump of history. His enemies were men of the cloth, and they were determined and they wanted this. As we have said, now we must remember this, it was a secret meeting. It was known only to the Pope and to these seven cardinals. So there were eight people in total who knew about it. And outside the door, they had a Swiss guard stationed, making sure no one could enter this meeting. That was their duty. It was stationed directly outside. The doors were closed. When suddenly the doors swung open and in walked a young Capuchin friar. Everyone was so stunned at the stage by this intrusion. They were too stunned even to react. And it was noted that the friar had long sleeves that covered his hands. And he seemed to walk with a slight limp. This friar walked directly up to the Pope. He knelt down before the Pope. He kissed his feet and said, then he uttered these words to the Pope, "Your Holiness, for the good of the Church, do not permit this to occur." This young friar, Capuchin friar, then knelt down again, kissed the Pope's feet again, and he left. And at this, all hell broke loose. The inquisitor cardinals rushed to the doors to reprimand the Swiss guard. How dare they let someone into this meeting? And the Swiss guard were equally offended, and they denied even having seen a Capuchin monk, and certainly they had let no one in. So what had happened? And then it dawned on the Pope, something's happened here. What is the likely explanation? Well, Pope Pius XII suspended the meeting, and he had to investigate this for himself. Had a miracle taken place here? Had there been something like even a bilocation that had happened? And so the Pope sent a Cardinal Cilli, who had been defending Padre Pio, on a secret mission to St. Giovanni Rotondo, which of course was Padre Pio's town, where his monastery was, and his duty, he was assigned to investigate where Padre Pio had been at that time of the meeting and exactly what he had been doing. It was a secret meeting, so what had happened? So, Cardinal Cilli, he made arrangements to travel there with his sister-in-law, who was Countess Virginia. They went to St. Giovanni Rotondo. She knew Padre Pio fairly well. That's why he went with her. And she being a woman, of course, naturally, she somehow made this intuition that the Pope wanted to know something important, that something important had to be found out. She could not have known exactly what it was, and that the Pope, in fact, wanted to know if the friar who had entered the meeting could possibly have been Padre Pio. She couldn't have known that. But it seems that there was a suspicion on the part of Pope Pius XII that perhaps a bilocation could have taken place. And the inquiries were made by Cardinal Cilli, where had Padre Pio been at the time of the secret Vatican meeting? And it turns out that Padre Pio had been at that time saying his prayers, and that he had not in fact left the monastery all of that day. That was confirmed. The result of the inquiry is quite important. The case against Padre Pio was dropped. His suspension never occurred. So something had convinced Pope Pius XII of this. And the Holy Office, well, they continued to persecute Padre Pio. Persecution continued. But it seemed to kind of taper off after that. And it seems that Pius XII had changed his view, his mindset on Padre Pio, and he was now more favorable to Padre Pio. The story comes from a carefully recorded testimony of the Countess, and was signed with an oath by her that this is actually what happened. And it forms the basis for the story of Padre Pio's bilocation to Pope Pius. So now, if we take a look at this, at the evidence, what can we add up in this situation? Did a bilocation happen? Well, it is possible. Padre Pio was known to bilocate. And it was also a young Capuchin monk. Oh, Padre Pio was young at that stage, and he was Capuchin. He wore long sleeves. Well, Padre Pio certainly wore long sleeves to cover the stigmata. And he walked with a limp, a slight limp, this Capuchin monk. And certainly Padre Pio walked with a limp because of the stigmata on his feet. And would Pope Pius have reacted like he did if it was just any Capuchin monk who had entered the meeting? So what do you think of this? Put it in your comments below. And thank you for listening. We'd like to encourage all of our following Padre Pio listeners to enroll your Mass pre-intentions. We have a Mass said dedicated to Padre Pio, bringing your intentions to Padre Pio every Friday. So you can enroll these Mass pre-intentions. You just go to our website and you do it there. If you've already enrolled your intentions before, you can do this again. And do keep watching. We have our most popular videos. We have other videos selected specially for you. And also one right here on how to enroll your Mass prayer intentions.